Yes, Father, we thank you, Lord, that nothing shifts you, nothing shakes you, Lord, that nothing surprises you. Lord, that in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth. You hold it together, and you're coming back to redeem us. Lord, you're not scared of what's going on. You're not in chaos. Lord, help us not to be. Lord, help us be firm in our stance of who we know we stand for and who we stand with. And Lord, that's the creator of the universe. There's nothing mightier than you. Lord, we love you, and would you bless this day, Lord? Fill us with your Holy Spirit and change us, Lord. Renew our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I want to first take a moment, and I know that things are going to move really quick this morning, so I want to take a moment and give a hand to Mr. Jeremy Morris. You know, I don't want to take away his reward, but a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, I know, just for his heart for all of you guys, his heart for the Lord. And just for everybody that's served here. Well, I'm going to be in a few key areas. I apologize if I sound like I'm moving a little quick through some of the verses, but there are a couple key verses that I want to mainly frame this devotional around. But if you could put a finger in 1 Kings chapter 17, Acts 14, and James chapter 5. Have you guys observed the phenomenon that's happening in these trees right now? It's interesting. They're releasing oxygen, but I think they're releasing a little testosterone. What do you guys think? Some manliness going on out here. I like it. Well, it's been a blessing to be here. And you know, one thing we don't want to have happen is to walk away from this and not let the work that God's done in our life here, or to lose sight of that work as we move forward into our daily lives. It gets real later today and tomorrow. And I know all of you have your own challenges and struggles. And you know, when I think of my own life, I come away from retreats like this and I say, I'm too ordinary for God to use me, you know, in these mighty ways, you know. And you know, I'm just a regular guy. I like to fish. I enjoy hanging out with my family and, you know, watching a Gator game on Saturday. And, you know, just a normal guy. I love the Lord. I love teaching the youth on Sunday. And oftentimes I come away from events like this and I set the bar a little low for myself. And so I want to challenge us today not to do that. You know, I want to make sure that my nature of who I am isn't something that automatically disqualifies me from a great calling. So I want to look at three men that the Lord, you know, spoke to me. And as always, through these verses in the Word, you know, changed my heart and the way I looked at this. But there's three men I want to look at. It's Elijah, the prophet, it's Apostle Paul, and Barnabas. We all know the stories. We know of Elijah, the great prophet that God sends to turn the people back from the idols that they're worshiping. And God has done mighty things through the prophet Elijah. And I want to share a few things that he's done. But one interesting point that he makes about Elijah in 2 Kings, it describes Elijah as a hairy man wearing a leather belt. I think I see a lot of Elijah's out there. But the miracles and the mountaintop experience that Elijah experiences start, you know, we see in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, you know, he declares a drought. He stops the rain. That's powerful stuff, you know, and he's obeying the Lord. He knows God's word because God said that when the people turned to idols, that he would hold back the heavens. And so Elijah himself as a man isn't holding back the rain, but he's so confident in God's word and knows, you know, what God has said And he knows God's response to their turning. In 1 Kings 17, chapter 17, verse 20, he's used to raise the widow's son from the dead. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, he calls fire from heaven to consume his sacrifice, to make clear who the true and one God is. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, God speaks to him directly in a still small voice, encouraging him on a mountaintop. And that's powerful stuff. I want to turn over to Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In Acts chapter 14, verse 10, Apostle Paul's in Lystra, and a certain man, this is starting in verse 8, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, and a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Wow. In verse 19, Paul is stoned by the Jews. And I love the way that it describes it. You know, I don't know exactly what's happened here, but it seems like a miraculous thing to me, a supernatural event. But you know, it says, "And the Jews of Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas." So somehow he's seemed as if he's risen from the dead after being stoned. We serve a mighty God. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, we read about Barnabas. Barnabas was actually a normal guy. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. He was a teacher, it says. We read in that verse that Pastor Ken brought to us last night. But he was a part of one of the greatest crusades and with the great apostles. So we see these guys and the great and mighty work that they've done. And so what are you saying, Jack? You know, how does this reflect any relatability to my life? You know, these giants of the faith. Well, that's where I want to turn to James chapter 5. And again, sorry for jumping around on you, but here's the verse that, you know, I want to hone in on. If I were to title it, and I pray the Holy Spirit does the work that he wants to do in your hearts, but if I were to title this message, I would say that ordinary is ordinary for God. In James chapter 5, verse 17, we see an amazing verse that the Lord inspires and puts on James' heart to describe Elijah. It says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours." Do we believe that? Because this is the inspired word of God. And it's a hard thing to understand and comprehend and say, how could this man be anything like me? Because I know what I am like on a daily basis. I know my passions, my desires, the things that I'm prone to and my tendencies. It doesn't sound a lot like Elijah. I want to call you back to 1 Kings. I want to show you a little humanness we see in Elijah. I'm sure you all know this story. In 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 1 it says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." So Elijah is human. He runs for his life and from a girl. This is where we all say, man up, Elijah, man up. But he has a nature like ours. In Acts chapter 14, we read about the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In chapter 14, Apostle Paul does something amazing here. He raises the lame man, tells him to stand to his feet, and he leaps and walks. Well, right after that, the people do something that often people do. We worship the man that God uses over the God that raises him from the dead. And so in 14, it says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes. Oh, let me explain. What's happening is they are worshiping the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And they say that in verse 11, now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And then we pick up in 14, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you. We shouldn't idolize the ministers that God sends to us. No matter how mighty, no matter how great, our pastors are servants of the Lord, and they have natures like us. This word nature is the Greek word homeopathes, and it means of like passions, of like feelings and affections. It's more than just flesh and blood that we're men walking around with two legs and two arms, but it's like passions, it's tendencies, it's things that we're drawn into. And so why is it that these men, Elijah, the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, on this great crusade to win the Gentile nations, the whole world for Jesus, what sets them apart? What makes them different? We want to find some characteristics that we know the Word says about these men so that we might apply them to our lives and have a little insight into what we might focus on. So in Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah makes a proclamation to Ahab. The Bible says that Ahab, like no other king or leader in the history, Ahab, drew the people into idol worship. So Elijah makes this proclamation. He says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Elijah makes clear who he stands before, and we should do the same. His only influence is God, and he makes that clear to Ahab because Ahab has a lot of influences. He has a lot of gods. And Psalm chapter 123, verse 1 says, unto you I lift my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens, as the eyes of servants look to their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. This isn't a Joshua proclamation where it's, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. I serve the Lord. This is a proclamation that Elijah is saying, no, simply, he's the only one that influences me. This is my God. There's no other influence in my life that is leading who I am and who I serve. And, Pastor Ken had brought up our symbols, wedding rings. you know, for our love and devotion to our wives. And the bondservant's gold ring, I love that example. Making a proclamation to everyone that my master is great and not being ashamed to say that out loud. Not being ashamed to let people know the goodness of their master. I tried to think of what that might look like for us today and for me, and this is not something that I want to proclaim as necessarily condemnation on us as a church, but you know, to me, this is a great symbol for us. You know, the society has tried everything to push the Bible out, and they know the power of it. I believe the culture knows the power of the word, and I believe if we're carrying this around with us in the places that we go on a daily basis, this becomes our gold ring in our ear, our proclamation that no, the Bible is what gives me my philosophy, my science, my understanding of who God is. Another thing I would say is this Bible has no pictures of nude women in it. It has no videos of sick, gross things. It has no chimes. It has no beeps. It has nothing to distract us when it's just this. And I wonder what influence we would have if we put this down for a minute. And I say that to myself because, you know, my heart broke this week. Last week, my daughter came and there was a Thanksgiving thing she did at her school, and the teacher told her, I want you to decorate this turkey just on the influences of your family. What are your characteristics? You know, don't make it look like a turkey because then we got to eat it. But, you know, it's got to look like anything but a turkey. It's got to look like your family. And we're getting through, and I was asking my daughter, what do you want to draw? And so we get through drawing a couple things. But one of the things that pops in her mind is, we got to draw a phone. Said, what? Draw a phone? Why do we need to draw a phone, sweetie? Because you guys are always on them. And that just broke my heart. And my wife and I just look at each other, and it's that moment where you're just crushed. You're like, I repent, you know? And they observe everything. They soak it in. Sorry. Don't mean to be on a soapbox, but I do look around in our churches today, and I think that we're missing a little bit of that. James chapter 5 describes something about Elijah. It says in verse 18, and he prayed again. In 17, just before that, he says he prayed earnestly. He prayed. Are we praying that with the intent that God's going to do something great? Are we continually praying? I believe that's a key characteristic of Elijah's character. I want to look up Barnabas. It says he was a good man. In Acts, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Jesus said that the key ingredient to receive power and to be a witness to him would be to receive the Holy Spirit, and the same applies to us. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Barnabas was filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. In Acts chapter 13, Apostle Paul is shown that he's just declares the gospel. He declares the good news. Of course, the Apostle Paul does amazing and powerful things, but if we think about his life, one of the just greatest characteristics that I see in his word is that he loves sharing the good news, and he's called to do it. We all know we're all called to do that too. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, it says the Apostle Paul poured himself out as an offering. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith, and he set his sights on the crown of righteousness. These characteristics, I hope, will encourage you as you walk, as we come away from here, and we're just ordinary guys, many of us. I'd say most of us. But let us stand before the Lord only, make him our only influence. Be full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and declare the good news to the world. Now, this message is hoping to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. Let's not walk away from this and make excuses for that. That's the one thing the enemy, I believe, loves to do is allow us to make excuses why these things can't be what we look like. Being ordinary is not a reason to continue in a lame walk with Jesus. Jesus is worthy of all of our lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, that we stand under your heavens. We thank you that we get to come here and just learn of the riches and the blessing of your word, Lord. I pray that you would make your word a sweetness, Lord, to our hearts, Lord, our tongues, Lord. I pray that you would revive that sweetness in us, Lord, of desiring your word like honey. Lord, just renew us, God. Give us a passion for you, Lord. I pray that you would challenge us to just to serve you, Lord. Give you our lives. Lord, we give them to you today. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a mighty work in every one of these men, Lord, that the world around us would change because of this weekend, Lord, and these men's hearts being submitted to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for dying for us while we were still sinners. You're worthy of our lives, God. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.